Hello everyone, thank you so much for joining us. There are over 1 billion new clothes are produced each year, and of those, around 92 million tons of those items will end up in a landfill. And billions of these clothing items contain harmful chemicals, so that could include bisphenols, PFAS, heavy metal, among others. As these clothes are breaking down, they contribute to the microplastic pollution, which can harm marine life and eventually enter our food system. The rapid production of high volume and low cost clothing is also known as fast fashion, and it's basically regularly available in on Amazon, Shein, and other malls. So thankfully, there's like a growing movement to help combat this environmental and health concerns associated with fast fashion. This grassroots initiative is also known as the slow fashion. So transitioning to slow fashion lifestyle can take some time, and which is why we're so glad to be speaking with Allison Zielinek, the imperfect environmentalist. So Allison learned a lot while transitioning to a slow fashion lifestyle and is going to share some tips of how to make this transition easier. So I saw Allison. Here you are. Hi, Allison.
Hi, hi, Dr. Gua. How are you?
How are you? Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here.
This is such an interesting topic. We've been talking about it, thinking about it, and we have not, invited anyone to come onto Instagram to share their experience and then actually give people some strategy about how to actually do that. So thank you.
Well, I'm really, really flattered that you guys reached out and asked. And I think it is really interesting, all of these different intersections of like low toxic living and sustainable lifestyle and, slow fashion. All of those things are not mutually exclusive that live in different silos. There's very much a, like I said, an intersection of all of these different movements. So very, very cool.
Before we start, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became the imperfect environmentalist.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a mom. I'm a mom of two young girls. I am a former public school teacher. And I think it was in, well, I started really thinking about like low tox living when I was pregnant with my first child. I feel like a lot of women tend to kind of go into that journey as soon as we get pregnant. And that really kind of opened my eyes into like, oh, wow, like, why am I only caring about these things coming into my household and into onto my body when I'm pregnant? These are things that I really should be more aware of globally. And then I kind of just started going down this path of trying to eliminate plastic from my world. But one place that I felt like I kind of just turned a blind eye was in the area of fashion. And I used to shop at Target and Anthropologie, and I loved a new outfit, and very impulsive with my decisions on how I brought clothes into my wardrobe. And then I th around 2019, I really started to explore this idea of how the fashion industry is one of the largest, polluters of the environment. And then again, that intersection of what that looks like for the health of the people working in the fashion industry, and then also, the our health, our collective health, and the health of future generations, because of, like you talked about, all of the byproducts of microplastics and extraction of oil for all of these different materials that you don't even really think about, like, oh, my swimsuit is made of fossil fuels, my leggings are made of fossil fuels, like all of these things. So I kind of just jumped on, sharing about my imperfect environmentalist lifestyle on social media. And for so long, I felt like, who am I to talk about this? Like, I still have plastic. I'm not perfect. I'm not zero waste. But I found that it invited more people into the conversation when it's like, hey, this is me doing things imperfectly, but still trying my best. So that's kind of how I got started into just like imperfect environmentalism and slow fashion. And again, that Venn diagram of like low tox living.
I love the name because it's so hard to be perfect. And then we often tell people when they're trying to, use our test and then trying to live a low tox lifestyle, it's always like you can't be perfect. You will always still have some exposure, but you can always try to do as much as you
Oh,
can.
absolutely. I feel like so much that is such a parallel, like this feeling of like overwhelm once you kind of open your eyes to, environmental toxins or the environmental movement or slow fashion, all these things, you're suddenly like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. How the overwhelm of trying to be perfect. But I always try to say like progress over perfection. And that we live in a society and in a structure where plastic is everywhere and these environmental toxins are really ubiquitous. But just trying to navigate the system the best that you can is all you can do. So.
You mentioned that, back in 2019, you started your journey to conscious consumerism. So what is that exactly?
So again, like I said, I feel we are operating in this system of like capitalism and consumerism, and it's really pretty much impossible to not participate in consumption, right? I feel like prior to that, for me, like this awakening of being like of a more conscious consumer, I felt really like, oh, I could never be an environmentalist, or I could never care about those things because I'm not zero waste. And that was kind of a movement that was pretty exclusionary. And it basically was like, oh, that, you don't produce any trash, you don't, you get all your things at the bulk store, all these things. And it made me feel really like I wasn't, who was I to join this movement? But then I sort of realized that all of these little individual actions, although I'm not perfect, right? I still drive a gas car. I shop at a regular grocery store. I don't have bulk where I am. That all of these little things, when I choose how to spend my money and where to spend my money, that is a vote for the type of world that I want to live in. And these are little small things that I can control as an individual, to, try to, again, like I really believe in the power of the consumer and the power of the consumer dollar to move a market. And I think we've seen that with like organic groceries. We've seen that with even just like this movement of getting away from environmental toxins. Like it's becoming so much more mainstream, clean beauty. All of these things have started because the consumer has demanded it. And I think so often we're told like, oh, individual action doesn't matter. I think it really does. I think the power of the consumer and the power of the collective is something that's pretty incredible.
Totally online. So today we're going to talk about transitioning to slow fashion. So could you explain like what slow fashion is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, slow fashion is kind of like this umbrella term for like sustainable fashion. And I would say it's more of a mindset than something like where you shop, right? It's more of like how you shop than where you shop. The whole idea is basically we have this influx of clothing and textiles. We are, Zara, places like this are coming out with 52 different collections a year. You can do the math there. Like the overconsumption and the pressure to consume is immense, and it is having detrimental effects on our environment, on the garment workers that make these things, and like you talked about, just in general, the way that these textiles and things are being, extracted and made. And the slow fashion movement is really trying to combat that by saying purchase less, buy less, consume less. When you are going to purchase something, to really think about where it's from, who made it, kind of asking yourself questions before you just automatically purchase something. One of the ways that I participate in the slow fashion movement is I'm really passionate about shopping secondhand and repeating the outfits that you already have. Because the most sustainable thing you have is already in your closet, right? Like anything you already own is the most sustainable choice. And then after that, I would say is like thrifting or secondhand shopping because the resources are already used to make those items. And then after that, I'd say, shopping more sustainable brands. And I'm sure like we can get into the nitty gritty of this later, but what's tricky about like the sustainable brand thing is there's really not a lot of like transparency. So it's really, really hard to navigate, just like the personal care product industry. It's really hard to navigate when there's not like, you know, a third party verification of like, if this brand is actually sustainable. So that's why I think like wearing what you own, repairing what you have, and then like swapping, thrifting, shopping secondhand, that's kind of like a very, very sustainable bet.
Okay, now let's get into the nitty-gritties because you have your 5 R's of fashion. Tell us about that.
Okay, so this is something that's not just mine. This is definitely something that, you know, I think a lot of people talk about. It's got to remember it all. So I have my notes here so that I don't forget. Okay, my 5 R's, so I said reduced, so buying fewer pieces, minimizing the waste that you are, you know, contributing. So, and, you know, the human rights violations in making fashion pieces. So reduce, reuse. So really embracing what you already have, wearing your closet, shopping your closet, and then recycle, which is, when I say recycle clothing, I mean like giving those clothes another chance. So the best way to do that is instead of just donating items to something like Goodwill, is really trying to figure out if you can gift them to somebody that you know, like swapping, if a garment is absolutely just so worn and can't be repaired that you're not passing that on to Goodwill because they are not, or a donation place because they are not garbage. They are not, you know, supposed to take on your garbage. That is actually something that can be, you can mail it back to a textile recycling program. Like the 4 Days does a really great job of textile recycling. And then repair, obviously. So instead of just, you know, when your clothing start to break down a little bit, instead of just automatically being like, that's done, really try to mend the items and the garments that you already have. And then rethink. So my last one is rethinking how you are participating in, you know, the fashion industry. I think that's a huge one for me because I really loved shopping, and I still do, and I also still love fashion. Like, I really do like getting dressed and playing with different styles and trends, and that you don't have to wear like a shapeless linen sack once you start being in the slow movement, the slow fashion movement. Like, you still can use fashion as a creative expression. You just kind of need to rethink how you are participating in it.
Is that the reason that you're advocate for renting clothes?
Oh, I love clothing rental for special occasions. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that weddings, galas, even events like a concert that you want to wear something special, that renting clothing is a really, really great option because you're not, those clothes are in circulation, right? That's striving towards circularity in the fashion industry, which is awesome.
And you also discussed secondhand clothing and thrifting. Is there a difference between the two?
So for me, what I think is, again, I think secondhand clothing is an umbrella term. And then kind of under that, you have the different ways those garments can come into your closet. So swapping, that is a type of secondhand, you know, when you get a group together or even just a couple friends together. I know that certain cities organize really cool swaps, and I also just do it with my girlfriends here. So swapping, and then, you know, there's a lot of online retailer, or not retailers, but apps and businesses that are like ThredUp, Poshmark, Mercari. Those are all online secondhand ways to shop. And I like utilizing those for if I know there is a specific product that I want, that I can look for it there. And I can type in search and look for, you know, a specific brand or product that I want. And then consignment is another secondhand term. Vintage, again, is another secondhand term. Thrifting, I feel like, is separate from those, just because thrifting is really like, you're going into Savers and you are, you know, seeing what's there, what magical items might, you know, speak to you. I do recommend for any of that secondhand clothing that you do, again, like, it's possible to overconsume secondhand clothing. And for me, that was something I absolutely did when I started, like, veering away from this addiction to, like, fast fashion. Was I was, like, replacing one, you know, quick dopamine fix of getting new clothes with, like, secondhand clothes. So I definitely want to make viewers aware that that does happen. And that kind of, like, having an audit of your closet and really thinking about what you have in there already and what you actually need is a great thing to keep in mind, and, like, having a wish list for your thrifting or your secondhand hunting.
It's still hard for people to not buy stuff, you know, and not buy new stuff. So, you know, if they're, like, going to buy something, and then, you know, what do you look for in a sustainable brand? And, you know, what are some of your favorites if you're going to buy something new?
It is really hard to not buy things and to not constantly be bombarded with this feeling of, like, needing newness. I do have something that I want to say to that before I talk about sustainable brands, is just that unsubscribing from all of the apps and the noise in your inbox, and also, like, if you are on social media, unsubscribing or unfollowing brands or influencers that are promoting this idea of overconsumption and hauls, and just in general, like, making you feel like you need to buy a bunch of new things, that is really helpful, because, you know, subconsciously we are, you know, taking on those messages. And that even comes down to the whole idea of, like, oh, skinny jeans are out and this is in, and all of these trends are formulated to make you feel less than, so that then you go out and spend more money and buy more things. And I think there's a lot of freedom in quieting that noise and really leaning into finding what works for your life and what fashion speaks to you and is comfortable for your body and your lifestyle. And I think a lot of that happens when you tune out to, like, a lot of the fashion industry. So I think I was going to say, oh, you were talking about, what do I look for in a sustainable brand?
Yeah, sustainable brand.
Yeah. I definitely look for, like, third-party verification. So, like, Okotex is something that's, like, the, you know, sustainable cotton. Generally, I'm looking to see if they have actual statistics and data on how they are either moving towards circularity, transparency within their supply chain, transparency within their manufacturing, how they are paying their garment workers, all of those things. Because sustainability doesn't just mean, like, impact on, you know, the environment, or they're using recycled materials. Like, we have to look at the supply chain. We have to look at who's making the clothing, and are they being taken advantage of? Because so often they are. And I also think that thinking about the end of life of the garment, the, like, life cycle of a garment, if a company isn't doing that, then they're not really doing sustainability. That's my take on it. I also really highly recommend using the app Good On You. You can look, it's a database, and you can look up, just like Yucca or Environmental Working Group, you can type in a clothing brand, and it will give it a rating based on, like, you know, all these different facets of the business. So
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. I did want to say one thing that I feel like an objection I get often to like slow fashion is, I can't afford it. And I absolutely hear people when they say that. Because I think when people think about slow fashion, they think about these brands that are, they really are very expensive many times, because often, like, really the production and all of those things we just talked about, if they're doing it right, it is going to cost a lot more than going to Shein or, you know, Amazon or Target or whatever, because of them doing their due diligence. But that is not the only way that you can participate. Wearing what you own costs you nothing. Shopping secondhand is a very cost-effective way to participate. And then I also like want to encourage people, like if you are, you know, in a situation where you are shopping, you need to grab some clothes and you need to go to Target, that you are remembering like that is where you are right now in your journey. But as long as you are thinking about like, I want to keep these clothing that I'm purchasing in rotation for as long as possible, then you are, you know, you're joining the slow fashion movement. I still wear many of my items that I've had for a long time, you know, and there are still items that I buy, like tennis shoes, that can be really tricky to buy sustainably and or secondhand, right? So, yeah, just that's something that I feel like I get a lot of pushback on. And I think Audra Barbour does a really great job of talking about how it's not the people who are shopping every once in a while at, you know, H&M that are spending, you know, $300 a year total at H&M. It's not those people that are upholding this culture of like exploitation and overconsumption. It's the people who are doing these hauls and promoting these hauls and monetizing after these hauls that can really be detrimental. So.
And, you know, perfect is not what we're looking for. So everyone can be imperfect as long as you start somewhere and then thinking about it.
Yeah. Sure.
You've done your best.
Exactly. Trying your best. And I feel like on my platform, I really try to meet people where they are and give them resources for, because I didn't like come out the gate being like, everything I own, I, you know, is in my closet already and I'm not shopping for anything new. Like it didn't happen for me like that. It's been a journey and it's been a process. And I'm still learning so much. And yeah.
This is awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to promote?
I have some books that I just think people should read, or that if you're interested in this topic, this is my number one book. It's Consumed by Audra Barbour. It's The Need for Collective Change, Colonialism, Climate Change, and Consumerism. I have read it twice now. I just can't say enough how much I love her work and how she is able to talk about like that Venn diagram of, you know, environmental justice, consumerism, capitalism. So I really like this one. This is kind of in your vein, but I also think it's really a great book to read thinking about environmental justice and how it works across different facets of our life. It's A Terrible Thing to Waste. I don't know if you read, this is Environmental Racism and Assault on the American Mind. I love this one. The Responsible Company. This is all about Patagonia. It's by Yvonne Chouinard. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have a bunch of other ones, but I guess my whole thing is I think so often we feel like this pull of like, well, who am I to engage in the climate conversation or the environmental conversation, like, oh, I don't have a background in science or environmental justice or policy or whatever it may be. And my whole, what I want to promote is that we need to have as many voices in this conversation as possible, and that start where you are with what you have and do what you can do. And again, that idea of progress over perfection, and what my engagement with this movement is not going to be the same as yours. And that's great, because we all have different audiences that we can reach and we all have different things we're good at. But we all need everybody kind of like all hands on deck shaping the future of our environment.
Absolutely. Exactly like what you said before, we want everyone to vote with their dollars.
Absolutely.
And then shop consciously.
Yeah. And I think that brands like Million Marker, I don't know if you're a brand company, I don't know what to say, but just becoming more aware and being armed with information so that you can go out and be a more informed consumer when you do go out. And that I do think is a privilege and it's an amazing thing. But the more voices that we have talking about the information, I think the more empowered the consumer is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing everything. We'll be promoting anything that you promote and making sure like listing these books, because we have some resources on our website on, you know, environmentalism and on environmental toxins, but not so much on a fast fashion. So all these books you just mentioned, we'll make sure that we're also listed on our
website. And they're not all about fashion, but I also have some about fashion that I can do. I just picked some of my favorites. So anyway, thank you so, so much. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing to, you know, make our future a healthier, safer place. It's something I'm very, very passionate about too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.